Okay, if you would, this morning we've got just one verse that we're going to take a look at. Now, I'm kind of fibbing. We've got lots of different verses I'm going to be sharing, but we're going to be placing them up on the screen for you today. We're going to continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit today. Last week at the camp out, I talked about a part of the fruit of the Spirit that is in pretty short supply, and that's patience. And as I looked on the next one on the list, I said, well, this one might be rarer still, especially in recent years. And I'm talking about kindness this morning. Kindness. It's kind of a forgotten virtue these days. Now, I want to make something clear. There's much more to the gospel message than, oh, be kind. Sharing the truth and love is much more than that, but it is never less. You can share the truth, but it must be in love. It must be kind. And Christians who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, well, we take seriously this call to kindness. So we're going to camp out on kindness today. Now, I said at the beginning of the series a while back that, none of these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit are optional. We're to glum on to every one of these and allow the Holy Spirit to build them and say yes to it and work to be better in every one of these areas. And my, oh my, if any quality is treated as optional, it is this quality. Now, there's those who will say, you know, if you disagree with me, or if you disagree with the majority, if you do something that we consider wrong, that makes you a bad person. And I don't have to be nice to you. It's kind of the times in which we live, isn't it? We see this on display in the online world. We see it in politics, which is pretty natural. But it doesn't end there. You get somebody who's a rabid sports fan for some team and try to have a sports-related discussion about what team might be better. Or a fitness-related discussion. Or a Bible-related discussion. Say the wrong thing, conversation goes south. Now, if this happened only online, the fix would be easy. Just don't get online. But it happens everywhere. It happens in the neighborhood. It happens at work. It happens at the checkout counter. It happens at home. It happens at the church. And we may fail at the quality of kindness more than any of the other qualities that we see in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And yet you and I are breathing today. We're alive today only because of the kindness of God. So today I'm going to split this up a little bit. In the first part of this message, we're going to just take a look at what kindness is. And then I'm going to give you a couple different little questions we can use as we go about our day and we deal with people, which will help us identify our own level of kindness in the community. And then I'm going to give you a few little check marks. I think five little things in your notes. We'll hit that right at the end. Five little things that will help us kind of center in on this whole thing of kindness as we wrap up this morning. So just what is kindness? Well, you can say that kindness is summarized in the golden rule. Do unto those as you would have them do unto you. But kindness is not some flippant thing. Kindness is in the very heart of God. He's in the very center of His being. It's in His very character. And I'd like to call to a Hebrew word this morning that kind of exemplifies that. And the word is chesed. Sometimes, like a number of Hebrew words, sometimes in the Old Testament it is love, Sometimes it's translated faithful love. But the original meaning is really closer to, well, to compassion. The best translation for chesed is loving kindness. Psalm 63, 3 and 4. Cindy, if you'd put that up there. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live. So when I talk about kindness, I'm not talking about mere politeness. Oh, be polite, be polite. Be normal, kids, we're going to town. You've heard that, right? If I have to come back there. I'm talking about a quality that represents love, mercy, tenderness, and compassion. You know, that's how God relates to us. When David wrote his great shepherd psalm, Psalm 23, what did he say? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the word mercy there is chesed. The same word that is translated loving kindness elsewhere. So David is really saying, surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. See, we are the recipients of God's kindness. And He wants us to be kind to others. Jesus said something in the Gospel of Luke. You know, I didn't really catch on to it for a long time. But today I want to draw your attention to this verse. Jesus says, but love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. How many of you have seen that verse? You know that verse. You're familiar with it. And then He wraps that verse up, and Jesus says, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So Jesus isn't saying that God is just kind. God is kind to those people over there, you know. He wants us to understand that sometimes we kind of fall in that same category. Ungrateful and wicked is a label we've all worn. Let's be honest. We're human. And yet God shows His kindness in spite of it. The Apostle Paul said, but God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now we can easily forget that we weren't all in the same boat as everybody else, but we all were. We were sinners separated from God. Our fate was the same as the worst sinner in the world. And though we did nothing to merit God's mercy, He sent His Son to die on a cross because of His kindness, His love for you and me. And the fact that we have accepted this gift of salvation as believers. If you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, it really doesn't make us any better than anyone else. It's just that we have an eternal relationship. So did I use the word just there? Sorry, Lord, but that's really the only difference. We have an eternity in heaven because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one could boast. So God is kind. God is loving. And that includes all of us. Now, I'm not diminishing the judgment of God or the fact that we must all own up to the consequences of our actions, or that the choices we make will ultimately determine our eternal destiny. The Word of God is clear on that. It's also clear that God is kind, even to sinners. Now there's a church, and I'm going to use There's a church over in Kansas that has had quite a reputation of late through the last few years for celebrating the death of fallen soldiers. They show up at their funerals with signs and banners telling everybody that God hates this group and God hates that group and the other group. And finally, you know, they finally, in a recent protest, just kind of just laid it all out there. And you see the sign, God hates you. My friends, nothing could be further from the truth. God loves you. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God we see proven constantly through the actions of His Son, Jesus Christ. God loves you. And He also loves people you don't like. And He also loves the people that you kind of want to hate. And He treats us all with the same measure of loving kindness. He just kind of lays it all out there. His kindness is for all, that all might come to know His Son, Jesus. So kindness is deeply rooted in the character of God. So if you're living a Spirit-filled life, a Spirit-controlled life, and my friends, if you're like me in any little way, you have to choose to be that way. You have to choose that course of action and allow Him to change you and mold you, and day by day, be that way. The same kindness that God has shown you will start showing up in your attitude and actions toward others. Kindness. Okay, now we're in the middle of this whole mess, so let's go to a couple questions this morning that will help us, maybe, as we work with others. The first question is this: how would Jesus treat this person in this situation? You find yourself in a situation at the grocery store or Menards, my favorite store, and you get your feathers ruffled a little bit. Now, how do you operate? Now, remember, you younger kids, you won't remember this, but back about 20 years ago or so, there was this bracelet, WWJD, what would Jesus do thing. It was kind of hot about 20 years ago, but really an easier question would be this: what would Jesus not do? I know that He wouldn't be hateful. I know that He wouldn't be condescending. I know He wouldn't ridicule others. I know He wouldn't celebrate tragedy or misfortune in people's lives. You know, even when Jesus had to speak the hard, cold truth, He would speak that truth with compassion and kindness. Think about, you know, when that adulterous woman got caught, she got caught in adultery, and everybody was surrounding her with stones in her hands. What did Jesus do? He said to that lady, "Go. I don't condemn you. Leave your life of sin." Do you think it's possible that those whom we are so quick to judge might hear the same words from our Savior? How might Jesus respond if He were in this situation, in this same set of circumstances? Can you imagine Jesus hammering on a waitress for being a little late with the iced tea? Can you imagine Jesus berating an employee for losing a sale or missing a deadline? Can you imagine Jesus trading insult for insult with somebody that disagrees with Him online? Now, if you know Jesus in your heart of hearts, you know that you can't even imagine Him doing that. So how would Jesus respond in that situation? And if you take time to think about that, you know that His response would be knesed, loving kindness. Now, if that question trips you up at all, here's the second one. How would I treat this person if he or she was Christ? Now, it's hard to imagine Jesus being a convicted felon or someone, one of those lazy people who refuse to work and or want to spend their life taking handouts from others. Or one of those men who can't properly feed and clothe their kids. And it's hard to imagine Jesus being sick or poor or unkempt. Oh, we can't picture Jesus like that at all. You see, Jesus is perfect in every way. The ultimate example of integrity. And yet, when we look at those whom good society would consider to be social rejects, we are to respond to them with the same attitude that we would respond to Jesus. And what did he say? Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Kindness. It's hard to imagine Jesus being that rude neighbor next door. It's hard to imagine Jesus being that rude customer. Hard to imagine Jesus being an overly opinionated political know-it-all. Or that relative that keeps hitting you up for a loan. Or that boss that expects too much. Or that employee who does too little. You can't picture Jesus in those situations. Because Jesus isn't anything like that person. And yet Jesus said that we are to treat them as we treat Him. Kindness. There's an old story about a woman in England. A commoner got home, was sitting, just got sat down at the old supper table, had her soup there. It was dark out by then, and it was kind of stormy, kind of rainy, and she just got sat down for supper, and she got a knock on the door. She goes to the door, answers it. And here's this tall, slender lady with an overcoat, and it was raining. She said, "Hey, it's starting to rain. Would you have an umbrella that I could use? I promise I'll bring it back." And she said, "Yeah, I can do that. I can get you an umbrella." And as she's walking toward the broom closet, she says, "You know, I've got two umbrellas. One's kind of got a couple holes in it, and one of the spines is busted on it, but it kind of works. The other one I haven't even used yet. I just got it last week. Still in the wrapper." So she grabs the older one, takes it out, gives it to her. And she thanks her and goes on her way. A couple days later, a carriage stops by, and the royal palace guard brings an umbrella to the house. And the lady that stopped at the door was the Queen. Queen Elizabeth. She said, "Oh my," she said, "had I known, I'd have given her the better umbrella." Well, yeah, that story didn't really happen. But you get the thing. If I knew that panhandler was Jesus, I wouldn't have brushed him off. If I knew that waitress was Jesus, I wouldn't have come down hard on her for spilling that whatever. If I'd known that person was Jesus, I would have done all that I could. If I knew it was Jesus in the rain, I would have given him the good umbrella. To which Jesus responds to you and me, "Now you know. Now you know. I tell you, I should have wore steel-toed shoes this morning, because I don't know about you, I'm getting stomped on pretty good." Well, let me shift gears one more time this morning. Our time is critical. I appreciate you. So I'm going to list now very quickly for your notes 5 areas that we need to get in the habit of practicing kindness each and every day. And I tell you, you could probably come up with 20 more. But here's 5. Number 1, conversations with family and friends. Now, you don't have to be mean just because it's family. Number 2, in every post online and every comment. Everything you write online has the potential to reach hundreds, if not thousands, of people. So seek to be kind or don't post. If I see one more cuss word on a meme, it'll be one too many. Number three, in traffic. You knew that was coming, right? I know people who become hostile the second they get behind the wheel. Don't talk to Cindy after the message, please. But you don't have to be that way. When people don't drive as perfectly as you, extend a little mercy. Show a little kindness. Number four, when doing business. Oh my. When dealing with the customer. Or dealing with a customer service as a customer service representative. I've been on both sides of that deal. Even if they're not doing it exactly right. You can practice kindness. Number five, to those who need your help. You know, on this one, I think I'm preaching to the choir. I know your heart, your willingness to serve. Yeah, and you can't solve all the world's problems. You just can't. And there's going to be times when people come to you for help and you have to say no. But you can say no with kindness. You don't have to be snarky about it. But whether your response is yes or no, you can respond with kindness instead of judgment. So here's five areas. It's a good start. I'll let you add to that list. You see, being kind is not wishy-washy. It's not weak need. It is a symbol and a sign of the Holy Spirit within as we go about our daily walk. Let's stand for prayer this morning. Oh, Father. We live in an increasingly polarized world. It seems so apparent that the old devil, he's acting as if his time is very short, and perhaps it is. We don't know the day, the times. And he is working so hard to keep people out of heaven. Father, give us the courage to reach out in kindness to draw those to you so you can do their work in their hearts. Lord, help us to be kind in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.